ဒီတဲ့တော်တော်တင်ဟန်သူချက်စားတဲ့ချက်တယ်လေတုံငါကြေကတဲ့ကြေဝချင်းမတုံငါကြေခင်ချက်စားတဲ့ခေါ်ရခေါ်ကြွယ်ဒီညုံမောင်ပါတဲ့ချက်စားတဲ့တွေ့ချာခွန်တို့ဒီစညုံမောင်ပါတဲ့တတော်ရဲစဒီစနညုံမောင်ပါတဲ့မေဘာဆွေကိုရဲစချက်ခင်းဒီကိုရှေရဝတဲ့စနညုံမောင်ပါတဲ့မေဘာဆွေလာရအန်ယူတယ်လေတွေ့ချက်ကြည့်စယူတယ်လေကြွယ်တဲ့ရတာဒီနေ့ဒါချက်ကတွေ့ချာဒီတတဝနေမပန်းရလာရအန်
Good evening. So last time we continued our presentation of Nagarjuna's letter to a friend, and we looked at the afflicted minds in some detail. We identified the afflicted minds as being our actual enemy, our true enemy, because it's from the afflicted minds that that all our suffering experiences in this and future lives come, as well as this entire experience that is samsara. This all comes about due to the contaminated karma that we ourselves have accumulated due to acting under the influence of these very afflicted minds. So coming to understand this, we recognize that we must eliminate these afflictions, these afflictions which are our actual, our real enemy. So we spoke then last time about the need to see the faults of the mind of attachment, as well as the object that one is attached to, And meditate on both of those in the context of emptiness. So come to see both how the afflicted mind of attachment is empty of true existence, and how the object that one is attached to, that too is empty of true existence. And this was a meditation that we were encouraged to engage in on a regular basis. We'll continue with the text, and we're going to look at whether having high social standing, having an attractive physique, being educated, looking at the importance or otherwise of this, and we'll also be looking at ethical conduct and wisdom. And so that's verse 28, which in the Tibetan is on page 64. So I'll read verse 28. To those possessed of breeding, learning, handsome looks, who have no wisdom, neither discipline, you need not bow. But those who do not have these two qualities, though lacking other virtues, you should revere. So looking at the qualities mentioned in the first line, so I'll just change the translation a little bit. So people who have high social standing or status, those who have an attractive physique, and those who are educated, who are very learned. So these qualities on their own are actually of no great benefit. What is, however, of great benefit are the qualities of wisdom and ethics. Take the first one, high social standing or status. If we think of the context of our text, we can maybe look at someone who's of a royal lineage. So someone of royal lineage, they actually don't really need to do much with their life. They don't need to make any great effort because they have power and they will have influence. They will attain a position of leadership purely by the status that was bestowed with their birth. So merely from this, the status that bestowed from their birth, does benefit come from this? Are they able to achieve happiness for themselves in this and future lives? Are they able to have a positive impact on others? Are they, in other words, Are they able to be of benefit to others and help others grow and develop? And of course the answer is not. If one has high social status alone, and thus is not conjoined with ethics and wisdom, then there really is no benefit for oneself and others. So first we're looking here at in the context of worldly activities, and whether in the context of worldly activities one is able to bring benefits to oneself and to others. And certainly in terms of one's physique, here if one is healthy, one is maybe strong and powerful, and possibly also having an attractive physique, will this alone lead to benefit for oneself and benefit to others? Again, not conjoined with wisdom and ethics. On its own, an attractive or powerful or healthy physique will not bring any meaningful benefit to oneself or others. And the third one, what we have here is learning or maybe education. So here if one has received a lot of many teachings, maybe as one has sat through many lectures, but not much has actually penetrated one's mind, then one hasn't gained any skill or ability to actually utilize all that one has heard to be of benefit to others. If someone who possesses these qualities of high social status, from just having this mere high social status, it's very likely that a mind of pride will come. They may think, oh, I'm of a royal lineage. Everywhere I go, people just naturally show me respect. Or my family is very wealthy, and one day I will inherit all this wealth. So there's actually no need for me to study or to make any effort in life, because I'm already someone special. So just merely having this high social status can easily lead to the rise of pride. Similarly, if one is healthy and doesn't experience any health obstacles, or if one is physically strong and attractive, then it's also very likely that the mind of pride can arise. And thirdly, in terms of one's education, so maybe one has studied a lot and has a great education, but doesn't do anything with it and rather thinks, well, I'm quite special, I have this name, I have this title, I've done all these studies, and again, pride can easily arise. So if these minds of pride and arrogance and the like, if these are dominant within one, what benefit will come to oneself? What benefit will one be able to bring to others? If dominated by minds such as pride and arrogance, it's very difficult to be of any benefit to others at all. So rather, one needs minds such as wisdom and ethics. And furthermore, if someone is perhaps of a royal lineage and has a great name, but they're not very educated, or if they're not very educated, then people probably will not show them any respect, and rather think, oh, they just have a great name, or they come from a famous family, but actually they've done nothing with their life, and no one will show them respect merely on the basis of having a famous parentage. And secondly, if someone is very attractive, but again they're not educated, then people may say, oh, this person is pleasing to look at, but there's no need to show them any particular respect or relate to them as if they were special, because again, this is just something they were born with, they haven't done anything to attain. Well, similarly, if someone maybe has a great education, but it hasn't had an impact on their mind and they're not actually doing anything with it, again, that alone will not be a reason for others to show such a person respect.
So what we
heard then in the previous segment was that if one has some of these worldly qualities, this is not enough in to receive respect of others, or rather to be praiseworthy by others, because people will still see faults in you. Rather, what is needed is the mind of wisdom. So what is this mind of wisdom? So wisdom means a mind that can discern or reasons. So a mind that is able to, for example, look at the various possibilities, analyze them well, and decide on a good path of action. So this kind of discerning mind or reasoning mind, this is what is meant by wisdom. And generally, education certainly is important. One needs to think well about what one should study, and think about what one should study in terms of what field of work that one will engage in. because if one is uneducated, it's difficult to get work that is financially rewarding. And if one's employment isn't financially rewarding, then one will have a number of course obstacles or gross obstacles in one's life. So in general, education is important. However, someone merely being educated, it doesn't mean that they will utilize this education in a way that's actually beneficial to others, or maybe not even beneficial for themselves. And furthermore, they may not be the kind of person that others would consider praiseworthy or would speak well about. So merely being educated doesn't necessarily mean that one is bringing good into society or even in one's own life, and thereby doesn't mean one is necessarily going to be someone that others look up to and respect.
No matter
what worldly qualities one has, one also requires wisdom. But moreover, one also requires ethical conduct. Because if one just has wisdom, but one doesn't guard one's ethics, one doesn't have good ethics, and doesn't guard one's actions with one's body, with one's speech and one's mental activities well, if one doesn't have good ethics, then again, one wouldn't be praiseworthy by others.
So someone
is educated, but they don't have good ethics, then they are likely to speak in an inappropriate manner to others, maybe swear at them, abuse them, try and dominate others, assert their authority on others and abuse others. So if one acts in this way, despite having a great education, people will see you in a negative light. They'll see you as an unattractive person in the sense of being someone who brings harm and unhappiness wherever you go. So thereby, such a person would not be someone who's praiseworthy or someone that others would respect and admire. So even if one is educated, if one doesn't have good ethics, not only will one not bring about benefit to others, but one will probably harm them.
Dungache de Pabishitan Gore.
For example, in the world there are very destructive there's very destructive machinery and the like these days, particularly if we look at the armaments industry. So this weaponry was devised by people who are highly educated and intelligent. They've been studying for years and have become very qualified scientists, engineers, etc. And they've put this great skill to use so as to create weaponry that will kill, create weaponry that will destroy the livelihood, the homes, and in fact entire countries of others. So here we can see the people who have a great education, they are very educated people, and they have tremendous skill in their fields. However, they're utilizing this in a way that is directly harmful to others. So such people are utilizing their skill in a very destructive way due to having a poor objective.
What
we see with such people is they've made great effort to become highly educated, and they've gone through a lot of subsequent training so as to become skilled, but yet they're just engaging in accumulating negativities. They're accumulating causes for future suffering and moreover for rebirth in the lower realms. So they're accumulating powerful negative karma that will propel them to rebirth in the lower realms and will also ensure tremendous suffering and torment in their future rebirths. So this is because despite this high education they have, they are engaging in activities which will lead to killing and destruction and tremendous harm. Rather, what we're seeing here is that these individuals are not guarding their ethics at all, because they are not thinking about the suffering that will follow from their work. They're not thinking about the actual results that will come from all the years of study and hard work. And not thinking like this means they are not guarding their ethical conduct well. They certainly do not have this thought of, I must not harm others. I must ensure that through all my physical activities, my speech, and even my way of thinking, I do not bring about any harm or suffering to any being at all. That way of thinking is certainly not being employed in terms of their work. It is completely missing. So therefore, due to not guarding their ethics, they end up accumulating tremendously powerful negative karma. What we see with such individuals is, despite being highly educated, their motivation is is completely tainted by the afflictions. So on the one hand, the mind of anger dominates them in terms of how they see certain groups. So groups that would be contrary to their self-interest or their nation's interest, they see as an enemy that must be destroyed, must be obliterated. So this comes from the negative motivation of anger. Then accompanying this, there'll be other afflictive minds, such as the mind of attachment. And here there'll be attachment in terms of progression within their place of work, and that will lead to greater financial remuneration. Also to maybe publishing papers, getting famous for the work they are doing, maybe appearing in magazines, and thereby becoming famous, gaining great renown. So this too then is a mind of attachment, driving them forward in this destructive direction. When we talk about the arms industry, it's quite easy to see the harm that comes from the endeavors of all those employed in this industry. However, of course, it goes much further than something as obvious as this, and is something that is pervasive in many, many fields. So business is another area where this is quite pervasive, although it's a little bit more hidden. But with the desire to gain more power, the desire to gain greater wealth and influence over others, then things such as environmental protection start to be seen as dispensable, as something that can be avoided or covered up. Similarly, conditions for workers. If one can employ workers whose rights one doesn't need to protect, if one can employ workers who one can take advantage of, then this is seen as something positive and something to be done. And even though one, such business people may well know that their society doesn't accept such behavior, they will still go in this direction and try and keep it secret, try and cover it up, try and make layers of try and cover it up so that it is a bit obscured. It isn't clearly visible. So in this way, due to these afflictive minds, due to desire for wealth and power and influence, they end up directly harming others. And they engage in further activities to cover this up, to deceive others, to keep it secret. So this too is something that people engage in, and is much more pervasive perhaps than even the arms industry. But it comes from the same problem of not guarding one's ethical conduct. What we see with people in these situations is that they didn't get to where they are, these positions of power and influence, or to be highly educated and working in a skilled industry just by chance. They got there through working particularly hard. And again, not just for a few years, but for many, many years. So what this means is they have been making great effort, but the result they're accumulating is just causes for further suffering. And that suffering will be experienced in this life, but certainly in future lives. So all this effort, all this endeavor, all this hardship they've gone through, just creates the causes for them to suffer. And these suffering causes, these negative causes, will ripen in suffering in terms of propelling karma, leading them to rebirth in the lower realms. And it will also ripen in terms of having difficult conditions in their rebirths. And once these beings are born in the lower realms, it is very difficult there to accumulate the causes to be liberated from the lower realms, to attain rebirth in a happy migration, such as a rebirth as we have now. So what then comes to them is that any opportunity for spiritual progression is severed. It becomes, in other words, or to put it in another way, it becomes the opportunity to progress spiritually is significantly delayed, put in the future, because of the lower realm rebirth that they will attain. So all this will come about through not but per chance, but through them making great effort and working diligently and striving, but only accumulating causes for suffering.
What one
requires is two qualities in particular. On the one hand, one needs to be educated. One needs to have knowledge, because this is the basis from which wisdom will come. And then secondly, accompanying this, one needs to have a good ethics. One needs to guard one's ethical conduct of one's body, of one's speech, and one's mind. Both of these are required. Because if one is educated, one has the basis of wisdom and is able to be of benefit to others. And if this is then combined with ethical conduct, then one will not use one's education to bring harm to others, but will rather be guarding one's mind, guarding one's behavior, ensuring that one doesn't bring about suffering to others through the skills that one has accumulated. So therefore, both education and ethical conduct is required. And if these two are achieved, then one will achieve happiness for oneself in this life and be creating the causes for happiness in one's future lives. And moreover, one will be directly benefiting others now, and will be able to be of benefit to others in their future lives. In other words, one will be able to encourage others or guide others or be set an example for others so that they too accumulate virtue that will benefit them in future lives. So thereby, both being educated as well as guarding one's ethics, one benefits oneself and others in this and in future lives.
That's
Let's look at lines 3 and 4 a little bit. So here, but those who do have these two qualities, though lacking other virtues, you should revere. Here the meaning is quite clear, that we've heard now the importance of ethical conduct and wisdom over and above everything else. And so here, if someone has ethics, has good ethical conduct and wisdom, then whether they have other qualities, other worldly qualities in addition to these or not, then these are people that we should look up to. These are people we should hold in high esteem, people that we should aspire to emulate. And this, so here with someone, if, for example, they come from a very ordinary family, or maybe from they come from a poor background, but they have wisdom and they have good ethics, then people will still praise them. People will respect them. People will aspire to be like them. Whereas on the other hand, if someone maybe comes from a very wealthy family or a famous family, but their behavior is poor, or they lack wisdom, then they are not going to receive respect. And similarly, in terms of if someone's ethics are very good and they are wise, but if they physically they maybe are very weak, or they are regularly ill, or they are just not pleasing on the eye, then people will still like them, will trust them, will aspire to be like them. And similarly, with the third quality, if someone has lacks education, but has wisdom, lacks a worldly education, but has wisdom and has good ethics, then they will be seen as honest and trustworthy and having a good heart. And though despite lacking a worldly education, then such people would be respected and would be looked up to. So we've been speaking up to here primarily from a worldly perspective. So now let's look at this from a Dharma perspective.
That is the word. Milia, and she gave Rick Chambuina DJs and Marciadi, the God I share Mado, Muinis, she made rather, she too married.
So, someone may present themselves to others and either directly or have someone else say about them that this person is a person worthy of veneration because they are of a particular lineage. They may be a student of this teacher, or they are in the lineage of the Dalai Lamas, or they are in the lineage of the Buddha, just something like that, and thereby assume that they should be given respect by others. But if they lack learning, and if they lack wisdom based on learning, then how can they actually be of benefit to others? And in fact, it's quite likely or quite easy then that they, or maybe quite likely, that they could engage in, they could try and deceive others, and they could try and take advantage of others because they lack wisdom, they lack the quality of wisdom, and thereby struggle to actually be of benefit to others.
In
terms of the second quality, we could maybe say if someone, a teacher, lacks education and the wisdom coming from education, but they are charismatic, then people could very easily be impressed and inspired by them, but because they lack wisdom and thereby the skill to guide others well, again, they may well end up deceiving others, taking advantage of others. In terms then of the third quality here, that of what we have learning. So here, if someone has received many teachings on the Dharma and presents themselves as thereby being educated because they've received all these teachings, but they haven't thought about the meaning and come to understand the meaning, then again, how can they be of benefit to others? Because they merely know the words. And moreover, once again, there is the very real danger that they could end up deceiving others.
Pajin to be Yaman Jewar, Dijaban, Sanjokova to Tugore, Nela, Tonyo to be shared, 지바데 뇽모바데 제 자와데 메바 사반 바사데 제 바발라 똥이도 비시 곰고레 똥이도 고레세 데미기니수 레 균제당 람조상게 림바 셰랍티 고고레스 신고고레 드리고고레스 지난 데미 지여바이나 아니 같이 셰랍 고고레세디 셰랍디 다디 셰랍 데니실 고고레 셰랍세데
So again, what is required in our Dharma context is wisdom. But the wisdom that is required in our Dharma context is going to be different from the wisdom that we spoke about earlier when we were speaking from a worldly perspective. So earlier we were talking about a worldly education that leads to knowledge and thereby the ability to be of benefit or otherwise through this knowledge. But here, in terms of the Dharma context, one requires wisdom that's based on study and on training. And but what does one need to come to know? So first of all, one needs to come to know about the reality of our experience. In other words, one needs to come to one needs to know the first noble truth, true suffering. So one needs to understand what is meant by suffering and understand this in terms of one's own experience and come to understand what suffering really is and how it is experienced. And then furthermore, it's not enough just to know that our experience is suffering, but one needs to know where this comes from, where it originates from. And that is the second truth, the truth of origin. Because from the truth of origin comes the result of suffering. So what is this truth of origin? This too needs to be known and understood. And so the truth of origin is the karma, the contaminated karma that has been accumulated by the afflicted minds. So this too needs to be known. But that alone isn't enough, of course, because if we know that we are suffering and we know why we are suffering, we also need to know if there's something beyond this, if there is somewhere to aim for, somewhere to strive for. And here then one needs to understand what is meant by freedom or by nirvana or by liberation. And then of course one needs to know not just that there is this state out there that is free from all suffering and problems, but that it can be attained and how it should be attained. So this is then the truth of the path. And moreover, one needs to know about beyond the liberation from suffering, that there is the state of Buddhahood, where one has the greatest form of happiness and has overcome all forms of suffering, and it has the ability to be of greatest benefit to others. And one then needs to know how to attain Buddhahood. In other words, one needs to know how to develop the mind of bodhicitta through meditating on all beings having been our mothers and reflecting on their kindness, etc. And then moreover, knowing that to achieve Buddhahood, bodhicitta alone will not take one there. One has to realize emptiness. So one needs to understand from this then what the object of abandonment is, what the antidotes are, etc. So all of this needs to be known, and this is what is meant by wisdom in our Dharma context.
And the Nigida, the Nigi Sherab to Yahoo, Sherab, the Nigi Sherab to Yena, Yendin Shiobaina, and Digi Pando Jesim to Tugu Rebellana, Dizamu to Tumares, Digala Tsurumsung, Tsurumsung Gores, Tsurumi, Tsuru Yahoo, and Gores.
And as we heard earlier, wisdom on its own is insufficient. Furthermore, one needs ethics as well.
And 제답당 주름니가 약보고 수고래서
So we've heard a bit about ethics in the previous presentation where we're looking from a worldly perspective. And here there is some similarity in that ethical conduct means guarding one's physical activities, one's verbal speech, and one's mental direction. And guarding them in the sense of not harming others. So this is something in common with ethics in the worldly context. But in our religious context, or our Buddhist context, it of course goes much further. And so we can talk about ethical conduct in terms of individual liberation. We can talk about all the vows of individual liberation. And we can talk about guarding ethical conduct in the context of the vows of the Bodhisattva. So here it is certainly considered suitable or appropriate if one has the aspiration just to attain liberation for oneself, and thereby one guards one's ethical conduct and develops wisdom so as to attain individual liberation. However, if one's wish goes beyond that, if one wants to achieve so much more than that, if one wants to be of true benefit to others, then one needs to develop the mind taking responsibility for alleviating all beings from suffering, and taking all beings to the state of lasting happiness. And to achieve that, one has to cultivate minds such as love and compassion. So when one gives rise to minds such as love and compassion, one wants to be of benefit to others. One wants to ensure others can be freed from suffering and can experience only happiness. Then when one takes responsibility for actually bringing that about, then one comes to the understanding that one has to become educated, one has to be able to be a skilled guide. And just having the mere aspiration, no matter how powerful and heartfelt, will not give one the ability to be of benefit to others. One has to be educated. Because being educated, one will be a skilled guide, a wise guide, and then one can be of great benefit to others, as well as, of course, bring happiness to oneself.
Mm-hmm. 다른 셰바 셰랍다 두림이 고구리에서 너나라 탑 탑다 셰랍니 냠네 제 고래서 그러잖아 탑다 셰랍니가 여바이나 너 소속이 지게 되니게 동이 단 다음에 봐 공부 잠기 지치부 공내 산다 진바다 두림 개념에 맞아 봐이나 탑아 톱투 그래서 톱투고 말해 사이고 뭐 톱투고 말해 지나다 근데 주름 지고 송제 셰랍지만 냠네 맞아 봐이나 타바 토두고 말 주름 가서 산지하고 봐 토두고 말에 제가 먼저게 람 휴게 가서 차야다 야게 돼야라 탑다 셰랍 니가 냠도 공고 그래서 거기 냠도 공제 조고래 야게 조고래스 제가 소수이네 되니게 공네 공반에 소수 야게 돼야래 디래 이 전에이나 아니지 고두이네 전에디게이나 미 람로 슈 타바 탐지기 뭐 고마 토발라 아니 셰라 지구 공주네 주름다 되니게 냠는 제마주나 그 셰라 지구 공네 타바 토투야 말 타 산요고와 토투야 말에 제가 주름 지구 공드네 셰라 냠는 마제바이나 토투야 메데 지구엔다 시한라 땜바들레 쳇시 뒤갑라 아니 셴 타바다 탐지기 뭐 고발야 고고이나 아니 셴야 셰라 비 냠는 시 되는 주름이 냠는다 이제 셰어도 아니 되네 셰어도 니가 냠는 제주고래 제가 되네 인자 다 라니기 냠는 제발라 탑다 시럽 니가 고다 시럽 기념내는 수림 기념내는지 고고래 시한래야 마띠엔제 랑이 기념내는지 시한래 시에네 시한 타바 탐지 기념 고발로 고발아야 기념내는 제주 고고래 대다 랑이 기념내는 마신나 시한래 시신 말에 지자 시한 야고 그 시발로 수수 기념내는 제고 지자다 탑다 시럽다 수림 니가 기념내는 제고래 대네 제바이나 아니 제비 부마이나 제비 직 교교위나다 미수부교위나다 안지그 태바슈지 제제면에 라젠니가 판도 이제 좀 두고 그래서
So we've heard here again now how one requires both wisdom and ethics so as to be of actual benefit to others, in particular to be of meaningful benefit to others. So another way to express wisdom and ethics, the more normal way within our Buddhist context, is to talk about, instead of talking about wisdom and ethics, to talk about wisdom and method, or normally method and wisdom. So method and wisdom are two crucial streams for progression along the spiritual path. One cannot achieve one's Dharma goals with only one. If one only has wisdom, one cannot attain enlightenment, or one cannot even attain liberation. One needs the method side as well. And similarly, if one only engages in the method side, one cannot be liberated from samsara, and one certainly cannot attain Buddhahood either. One needs method and wisdom. They both need to be practiced. Moreover, if one wants to be a skilled guide to others, it's not sufficient just to have wisdom but not to have method, or conversely, to engage in the practice of the method side but not in the practice of the wisdom side. And that is because one wouldn't be a complete example. One will not be able to set a complete example to others. One will not be able to guide others from one's own experience on the practices of the wisdom side or the practices on the method side. So therefore, to be of benefit to others, to set an appropriate example to others, one needs to cultivate both the wisdom side and the method side. And to put this in again another way, the practice of ethics, the practice of wisdom, or the practice of method and wisdom, these are required to bring about our own benefit as well as to bring about the benefit to others. And this is not only because of our own progression along the spiritual path requires both the method practices and the wisdom practices, but to be a skilled guide to others, one needs the knowledge and the experience on both the method side and the wisdom side. So therefore, no matter what how few worldly qualities one has, such as social status or worldly education or attractive physique, no matter how great or lacking one is in worldly qualities such as these, if one has the qualities of method and wisdom, and one has knowledge and experience on the side of method and wisdom, then one can be of extraordinary benefit to others. So how we can come to understand this method and wisdom that is being referred to here is that what wisdom really comes down to is knowing what should be adopted and what should be abandoned. Knowing, in other words, knowing what is to be adopted, in other words, the beneficial activities to engage in, and knowing what is to be abandoned, the harmful activities to be avoided. Knowing how to meditate and cultivate the objects to be adopted, knowing how to apply the antidotes, to cultivate and apply the antidotes to what should be abandoned. This is the meaning of wisdom. And ethical conduct. So how to understand this? So the ethical conduct, or we can call it method. So here, ethical conduct we know is about guarding the body, speech, and mind, and ensuring that through our physical activities, our verbal activities, and our mental activities, we don't bring any harm to others. And so this then is the understanding in terms of the vows of individual liberation, to ensure that one doesn't engage in any unethical behavior and bring about any harm. So this is the understanding of ethical conduct in that context. And in the context of the bodhisattva, then ethical conduct is about ensuring that one doesn't harm others through the arisal of the minds of love and compassion. Because once these minds of love and compassion have pervaded our mind, we will have no issue at all to harm others. We'll do everything we can to ensure that our speech only brings benefit, our behavior doesn't harm but brings benefit, and our mind, being pervaded by love and compassion, will certainly not bring any harm to others. So this then is the practice of method. It's a generation of mind such as love and compassion. It's a guarding of one's ethical behavior, ensuring that one doesn't bring harm to others. So that is the meaning of method. So we have the wisdom side and we have the method side. So if one has these two qualities, those of method and wisdom, then no matter what one is lacking in terms of worldly qualities, such as status or wealth or attractiveness, these really aren't important. Because if one is skilled in method and wisdom, then one can bring extraordinary benefit to others. And furthermore, this can be expressed in another way. So just to say, for those following the Tibetan, because it's a very long presentation, we're now on page 73, below a quote from the Jataka Tales. So what has just been said here can now be expressed in another way, in terms of gathering the qualities of maybe we can say it's either wisdom or skill, of ethics and a good heart. So here these are three sets of qualities that the practitioner will strive to develop. So the one is being skilled, being wise, being educated. So that's the first quality to develop. The second is that of ethics. And the third will be the inner quality, or they're all inner qualities, but the quality of developing a good heart, of being kind, of being gentle. So this is another way to express what the practitioner should be striving for. Okay, and then lastly, so when a practitioner has come to the stage where they are skilled, where they are ethical, and where they have the qualities of being kind-hearted, then they will be suitable to be they'll be suitable to be objects of offerings by others. So what that would mean is that they're suitable to be admired or respected or seen as role model, seen as someone to aspire to, once those inner qualities have been developed. So again, these inner qualities are not referring to these worldly qualities such as the family you're born into, or one's wealth, or one's physical attractiveness, or how educated or not one is in a worldly sense.
Shenlia, Chi, Shenlia, Dinam Lenche, Digging Gore, Dinenza, and then Diggy, Jewo Diggy, Jawachima in a Susan, Diggy, and Kum Yam Lendigi, Jawachima in a Sadami to go on to a detail, Dinigi Yam Lenche Ravada, Dinigra, Dinigo, Kosangieda, Chinchan Susara, Tabata, Tamjimoko, Watoyala, and Tanya Nyatuada, imishanda digi ne khunzu na da chedili ya dinig yamlen che ko bra wa nza digi an che wa chima ne ko bra ru kore ne ne da khunzu yin ne ta ba ta mi gi bo ko wa ta le ta nyen ya che bo le che da dinig ne de yin na da ru ya bo yin na da me na da ne ri ka ri na me na da ta pan do chim bo di pan do chi shwe di re mi cha sang gi da chi bi yu sha sa ya di re s ni yung re s di si gu do wa da
So what we've been hearing here is that so as to continue with our spiritual progression and to make great progress in our spiritual progression and ensure that we continue to attain good rebirths, rebirths which where we are able to once again meet the Dharma, have faith in the Dharma, come under the care of a skilled and truly qualified teacher, these will all come about through developing these inner qualities. And as we continue with our spiritual progression, not only will our own happiness grow, and not only will we ensure that our good rebirths continue, but the impact that we have directly and indirectly on others will become greater and greater. And so we'll be able to directly benefit others through developing these skills within us, and we'll be able to indirectly benefit others through becoming an object of respect. In other words, being someone that others aspire to be like, someone being the kind of person that others take inspiration from and decide to engage in the cultivation of method and wisdom based on one's own example. So these kinds of benefits for oneself and for others don't require one to have a particular good birth, or just to be born into a famous or a family or a wealthy family, or to be particularly charismatic or physically attractive. Rather, it requires the development of these inner qualities of ethics and wisdom. As we know, Nagarjuna wrote this letter for a specific king. So this king already, of course, had attained good rebirth, and he was hopefully physically attractive and in good health. So here Nagarjuna would be encouraging him to also ensure that he attained a worldly education and combine this with ethics. Because if he's ethical and educated, he will be able to be of great benefit to others. Because as a king, he has power. Everyone respects him, follows what he says, and if he's educated, he can help others develop good conditions as well. And if he's ethical, he'll ensure that his rule doesn't bring up harm and suffering to others. And furthermore, in the Dharma context, Nagarjuna is encouraging the king to not only guard his ethics of his body, speech and mind and ensure he doesn't harm others, but to develop wisdom. Because through having the wisdom of the Dharma, knowing what should be engaged in, what should be abandoned, then he will be able to lead others in a skillful manner. Because he's in a unique position, he has power and he has influence. And if he can combine this with wisdom and with ethics, he will be truly a great king in that he will have a tremendously beneficial impact on his subjects. His Holiness actually often gives advice in about what we've been discussing here tonight. His Holiness makes the point that in the modern world, education is more widely available than it has ever been at any point in history. However, whilst this is important and people require education and education can bring great benefits, people are not being guided well in terms of ethics. And from this, so many problems in the world come about, because people are becoming educated, but they aren't necessarily ethical. So these two are not necessarily in harmony together. So therefore, His Holiness encourages everyone that he meets to not only become educated, but to ensure that they develop a good heart. And to develop a good heart, one has to be ethical. And so this he encourages for his entire audience, whomever he meets. So whether we are Buddhists, we have certainly an ethical presentation in our religion. And those of other religions, whether they are Hindu or Christian or Muslim, in their religions there are also very powerful ethical presentations. So these he would encourage people to cultivate and develop. And then those who are secular, who do not accept any religion, for them, there certainly is secular ethics, and then His Holiness encourages the presentation of and the adoption of secular ethics. And this is because education is aspired to and widely available now in the modern world, but this needs to be combined with ethics, and ethics need to be practiced by all people, not just those who accept a particular religious philosophy, but by those who also are secular. And just to briefly summarize what we looked at tonight, so we spoke about the need to become educated and to be develop wisdom, but that this has to be in conjunction with the cultivation of ethics or the practice of ethics. Because in this way, one will ensure, through practicing ethics, one will ensure that one doesn't bring any harm to others as well as to oneself. And through becoming educated and wise, then, or developing wisdom rather, then one will be able to bring direct benefit to others, or great benefit to others. So therefore, both of these are required, method and wisdom, or ethics and wisdom. And it's imperative that we guard our wisdom. So in terms of our own practice, it's imperative that we guard our ethics. Because if we don't guard our ethical conduct well, we will not only create a lot of problems for ourselves in this and in future lives, but we will harm others. So therefore we need to make the strong commitment not to harm others. And not to harm others through our actions, through our speech, and through our mental parts. Our mental parts. And so here, in terms of our practice, this should come from the motivation we cultivate in the morning. And amongst the various motivations, the very best one is the motivation to lead all beings to this state of Buddhahood. So if one does give rise to this aspiration, then of course as part of that, one is not going to harm others. One is not going to deceive others. One's not going to speak to others in an abusive manner, because that's of course contrary to this goal of being of lasting benefit to others. So that's how we can incorporate what we've heard tonight in our daily practice.
Nda di cheba nanga tu jike nyamne jitin chuyi to nanga zo lya ne jike marik ba kar yong gore marik ba jitin chuyi cheba nanga zo le marik ba kar yong gore jine ma cheba ne drik ba kar yong gore se dine ge ko shye che
ne de chane kati shinu je dire ge And then tomorrow we'll start with the next verse. So this brings us onto the presentation on the eight worldly concerns. So we'll look at what they are and what obstacles one encounters, can encounter, and how to avoid such obstacles. So we'll stop here for tonight. If there are any questions, then please do ask. Peter?
I'm not sure if I understood correctly. When we were talking about the first example of people with scientists, people with education and creating weaponry, etc., it was mentioned that the cause of leads to enormous negative karma for those people. Does it lead to more negative karma if you have the education and do these unskillful or harmful things, then it did not have the education.
Okay. So, in general, if one is educated and engages in harmful activity,
such as creating weaponry,
is this worse than someone who's uneducated but creating weaponry?
Yes. Is the negative karma you accumulate greater if you are...
Due to the education. Okay, I understand. Then, Shi Yin Chin, Penatenic Patik, Kung Chensha Suna, Dini Dikpasagire. Dini Sheyun Mekin, Kung Chensha Suna, Kung Yang Dikpasagire. Dini Sheyun Yina, Dini Dikpa Chewa Sagireve. Netan T down trouble.
Sheyun Chewa and the Dikpa Chewa Sagire, Didi Chevaskaya Mara, the Kunola, Kunun Shukeshun, Kunun, Nibi, Samba Kaze, Kunun Shuke, So the
negativity is not necessarily dependent on the level of education or the lack or lack thereof. But rather, if the level of negativity is going to be primarily influenced by their motivation. Okay, thank you. Till tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh.